So when you're born again by confessing Christ, it's your soul that is reborn. Now, just log that away and put a little bookmark on it. Let me take you somewhere else for a minute. I mentioned earlier how you notice how sometimes there seems to be contradictions, but there aren't. Most people, when they're baptized, I don't care if they're sprinkled or dipped. Dip, dunk, double dump, trickle dump, whatever it is. Some are dumped. My teeth aren't working. Yeah, I got false teeth too. Somebody said, "Oh, preacher, you ain't supposed to talk about that." I actually had a guy tell me I couldn't be a Christian because I had broken teeth. Couldn't be a Christian because I eat chocolate cake. I said, "I drink coffee too. My feet stink. So what? Am I embarrassing you, honey? At least I ain't done with you what I did to Carrie. I took my teeth out one service. Said, if I can't talk this sermon, I'll just gum it. What did I say last night? You want to cross the River Jordan? Take God serious. One, number one. Don't take yourself serious. That's number two. And believe God's word. You got to remember that. You start taking yourself serious, God's going to have to take you serious. And when he takes you serious, you ain't going to like it. He's going to put your butt on the ground. Just like he did with Jimmy Swaggart, Jim Baker, and every other person he's ever loved. He don't put them on the ground because he hates them. Puts them on the ground because he loves them. Put me on the ground because he loved me. So I can't let you go around that way. You're too dangerous. Get it right. Amen? All right. Where was I? Come on, this is a test. No, I went somewhere else. Contradictions. In Matthew, didn't Jesus say, go teaching all nations whatsoever things I've commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost? Huh? And everybody goes out and they get sprinkled or dipped or dunked or dumped. Some even argue how many times they get dunked. I got dunked once. I got double dunked. Well, I got triple dunked. Me, I just hold them under the water and count the 100 by halves. I figure that way they ain't going to sin no more. I actually said that at a service one time, and you know, of course I'm kidding. I said that at a service, and some little kid was going to get baptized later and believed it. You remember that, Ann? And still wanted to be baptized. He thought when he was going to go out there be baptized, he was going to die. Boy, it made me feel about that small. So, when you go to church, the preacher dunks you or sprinkles you. He does it in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, right? Is that scriptural to do that? How many believe it is? Some of you are smart. You don't know me that well, but you still know I'm enough to know that this guy's up to something. Do you know that if you were dunked or sprinkled that way, it meant absolutely nothing? The Bible teaches us that it takes two or more witnesses for anything to be established. Is that correct? So before you can have a doctrine on anything, there has to be two or more scriptures. You will never find another scripture anywhere in the Bible that matches that. So why do preachers do it? Because they're stupid. They got some teacher that told them that's the way to do it. Now in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul says God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Who's the bottom of the list there? Teachers. Who's teaching everybody? Teachers. Duh. Then he goes on to say, for the perfecting of the saints. Who's qualified to perfect the saints? Apostles and prophets. Why? You guys are cheating. You know this.
Because it's to the apostles and prophets that God gives the mysteries of Christ. Ephesians chapter 3. He doesn't give the mysteries to the evangelists. He doesn't give it to the pastors. He doesn't give it to the teachers. Why? Because God is going to maintain His way, not our way. His way. He's got a line of authority, and it's going to be followed whether you like it or not. It doesn't matter what you want. It doesn't matter what you like. He's going to do it His way. Satan doesn't want you to know these things. Remember, we're in a war? We talked about an army? Don't you have a commander-in-chief? Don't you have generals? Don't you have colonels, majors, captains, lieutenants? How many is that? Five? Now look, is it a coincidence? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Five. Jesus is the commander-in-chief. So if you take out the generals and the colonels, what do you end up with? Chaos. Then you get them fighting against each other to see who's the best, and you got double chaos. In fact, what you've got is church. Some people are so confused. You know, you talk about denominations of Christianity. Baptists got over 136. How can you have so many denominations and still call yourself Baptist? I don't know. Church of Christ teaches the baptism of John. Baptism of John isn't even a Christian baptism. Did you know that? It had nothing to do with Christianity. It was a baptism of repentance for the Jews. When Paul came to the, what was it? When Paul came over there to Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, anybody remember that? And he found those certain disciples, who were they? They were the ones that first Baptist preacher over there in Ephesus taught in Acts 18. Apollos. That Apollos was a mighty man, mighty in the spirit, eloquent. But knowing only the baptism of John. Preached and convinced many of Jesus Christ. Priscilla and Aquila, who were under Paul, when they met him, took them aside and preached on them the word more perfectly. Who were Priscilla and Aquila? She was a prophetess and he was an apostle. Isn't that amazing? Well, I thought there were only 11. It's because you didn't read the book. In the New Testament alone, there are over 40 apostles named. Did you know that? See, in chapter 1, Peter did a no-no. Peter said, men and brothers, it must need that we choose among our brethren someone to take Judas's place. Now, he's got to be one of us. He's got to have traveled with us from the baptism of John to his ascension. And I wanted to shout and say, Peter, you dummy. Don't you remember what Jesus told you back there when you said, we saw someone casting out devils in your name, Lord, but he wasn't with us, so we told him not to do it anymore. Remember that? And what did Jesus say to him? He said, don't forbid him. See? Peter didn't learn anything. Right there in Acts chapter 1, he's trying to do the same thing all over again. He's going to tell God who he can choose for an apostle. And he's going to set down the condition. First of all, he's got to have traveled with them. He's got to have been with Jesus and the disciples from John until the ascension. So they pick two guys out of their group, cast lots. The lot falls on Matthias, and you never hear from him again, do you? How many have ever heard that apostles had to have been appointed by Jesus when he was still alive? Anybody ever heard that before? Can't be apostles today. Anybody heard that? There are no apostles today? Well, who was Saul? Saul of Tarsus. He was a Jew that didn't believe in Jesus. In fact, he helped stone the first martyr, Stephen. Enjoyed it so much, he got letters and went out and started killing Christians left and right. Not exactly what you call a great candidate. Amen? But Jesus appeared to him on the way to Damascus and said, "Hold it, son. You're mine now." Now let's go back to Ephesians for a minute and look and see what it said after it says perfecting the saints. That's the job of the apostles and prophets. Work of the ministry, that's the evangelist and pastor. See, the work of the ministry, the evangelist goes out in the street and he runs them into the church. Then the pastor hogties them and keeps them there. That's the job of a pastor. Then, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that's the job of the teacher, to edify, to build up. Not to plant weeds. How long is it supposed to last? Verse 14. Till, that's Elizabethan Scott for until. Until we all. We all come in the unity, one unity, of the faith, one faith. Huh? Unto a perfect bride. No. Boy, did you see the eyeballs pop out? You couldn't see them. You should have stood up here last night. The eyeballs that popped out when I said the church was a faggot church. I didn't say it in those words, but that's what I meant. What is a homosexual? It's a man who's lost his identity, thinks he's a woman. Amen? Doesn't the church believe it's a woman? Then they believe it's the bride of Christ? That's a lie. Never was a bride, never will be a bride. It's a perversion of truth. It says, till we all come together in the unity of the faith unto a perfect man, unto the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Church is male, not female. It's masculine. And when the church is dawning around as a female, it can't do anything. It's limp-wristed. And it's stupid. And Satan walks all over it. But when the people of God know their identity, know that there's a body of Christ, they know that they can put that armor on by being in Christ and walk in the power and the anointing and the authority that comes only from Jesus Christ, Satan gets worried and gets upset and gets out of the way. I'm going to tell you something. This stuff is so good, if you get a hold of it, you can walk into a hospital room, never say a word, and people will be healed. I've seen it happen. It's happened in my ministry. And you can do it too. Because God is the same. My Bible says He's no respecter of any person. He doesn't look down there and say, "Oh, Richard Usher, he's a pretty good guy. I like him, but I don't like that person over here as much." That's not God. Pastors, maybe. Evangelists. Thank God. All right. I had to get over there to get back to here. I'm going to go back and give you Mark 16. Jesus said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." Amen? What did He say, preach? Gospel. What's the gospel? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Period. My spirit, everybody in this tent believes in Jesus. So I can talk about these things. If a non-believer walked in here, I'd quit. Go on to something else. Now, there may be some believers in here that ain't wrapped too tight. They may not have any fetching up or no schoolhouse, but you still believe. Amen? So I'm free to talk about it. Once you're drafted into God's army, He can tell you certain things. That's why the apostles didn't write to the world. They wrote to the church. And then stupid teachers get a hold of it and screw it all up. All right. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, believeth what? The gospel. You mean not believeth Richard Jusler? Book of Common Prayer?
Book of Mormon. Especially not the Book of Mormon. Well, we had fun up in Vermont. We had Mormons chasing us all over the place. It was great. We got to preach to them every night. They'd come in the tent. It was great.
All right. He that believeth the gospel and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be what? Damned. That's an ultimatum, church. That ain't a choice. It's an ultimatum. Ultimatum. You come on my side or die and go to hell. That's as simple as that. Now watch the next part, because here's the part the church misses. Not all of them. Some of them. These signs shall follow them that believe until Paul dies. Until John dies.
No.
Timothy.
No.
It just simply says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Period. Amen?
Amen.
In my name. What did I say earlier about in my name? It's not just running around saying the words. It's being in that place. See, many people run around and say, in the name of Jesus, heal.
Well, thank you. I'm healed now. I'll go home healed. I believe God for it.
Kick them. Miss B. First night of revival here in New Hampshire a month ago. Right? Sitting around out back. Drinking coffee. Yeah, you Lord showed me you had a problem. You told me what it was, right? I went and got me a gallon of oil. Oh, Father Earth, that loveth. Didn't do any of that, did I? I just said, and you were healed. That easy. And any one of you can do it. If you get it right and understand these things. So you don't have to like me. You don't even have to like the way I say things. That's all right. You got to love me. Just like I got to love you. Amen. We can't choose our brothers and sisters. Not like playing five-card stud. Okay, take these three, give me three more. I'd have done it if I could. Take them three girls, give me some boys. These guys are crazy. That worked. I got who God said I was going to get. You get me whether you like it or not. Now, if you don't like it, you can leave. That's all right. She ain't going to get what I got. Stick around, you will. So, it's an ultimatum. And if you understand that ultimatum, then these signs shall follow. Now, Brother Yusra, I believe in Jesus Christ, but I don't believe in healing the sick. Then you're not a believer. Well, I've never healed the sick. Then you're not a believer. I've never cast out devils. Then you're not a believer. By this, you can know that that car runs. Put the key in it, start it, and the engine will run. Put it in gear, and it goes down the road. Sometimes I'd love to sell cars to some of these Christians out here. Oh, yeah, it's a great car. Tires are great. Engine's perfect. Runs like a top. Hallelujah. Give me $1,000 to drive it off. But it don't start. Well, it's not supposed to. That one ain't supposed to start anymore. It started one time, but that one don't start today. That ain't for today. That was for another day. Now, isn't that ridiculous? And yet some people feed you the same thing the same way, and you just, oh, yeah, it makes perfect sense to me. Now, watch this. Imagine I'm pastor on Sunday morning. Brothers and sisters, I have an announcement to make. I have to confess unto you that I don't believe the Word of God. And I don't believe in Jesus Christ. And I'm not sure I really believe in God. But this is a great job and I like it. And I like my car allowance and my house allowance. Don't want to lose it, and my income is all right. Although, if you don't mind, deacons, could you raise it a little bit? But in spite of all that, I want you to stick around and follow me. Now, if a preacher actually got up and did that in church, how long do you think that church would have any people in it? About 5 minutes, if that long. Huh? Wouldn't last very long, would it? So most preachers are smarter than that. They say, well, these signs aren't for today. They can't do them. They sure don't want you to do them. I had a Baptist preacher come to the tent up there in Vermont. And he got into a big uprise with that. And I said, look, preacher, I didn't come to you. You came to me. You're the one that told me that you were dissatisfied with church. You were dissatisfied with what was going on. You didn't like what was happening. You came to me. I didn't come to you. Now, this is a hard saying. There are a lot of people who don't want to hear this. It runs them off. Jesus ran a bunch off, too. Didn't bother him a bit. Said, those that have ears, let them hear. Amen? All right. Now, just because if you've never healed the sick, if you've never cast out devils, if you've never spoken tongues or any of that stuff that's outlined in Mark, doesn't mean you don't believe in Jesus. It means you either haven't learned to believe him or you've got too many weeds around you to produce fruit. My job is to get rid of the weeds so you can get the fruit. Amen? Because Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with other tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They lay hands on the sick, who shall be healed? Now, either it's the truth or it's a lie. And if it's the truth, then by God, it's time people that believe on Jesus Christ need to start doing it.
Amen.
But you can't do it as long as you're taught you can't. And you can't do it as long as weeds are put around you so that you don't feel you're worthy enough. Anybody here feel worthy enough to raise the dead? You're not. Don't worry about it. Neither am I. But I've done it. And you can too. When you understand it's not your worthiness, it's His. When you understand the truth, then the truth sets you free. And Jesus is the truth. All right, now we talked about that first baptism of blood. Amen? We talked about baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And how the churches run around and they dunk them. Boom, two, three, or sprinkle. And they say that, and they're not supposed to. But if you go look in the book of Acts, every single time anyone's baptized in water, what is it done in? In the name of Jesus. Why?
What is the name of the Father? Jesus. What is the name of the Son? Jesus. What is the name of the Holy Ghost? Jesus. All right, now watch this. The baptism of blood is done by the Father. The Father is the one who baptizes you in the blood of His Son, Jesus. Can you see that? All right. So then He brought them out of Egypt through what? The Red Sea. To bring them into the desert to learn to serve Him. Amen? All right. What was that? That was the baptism of water. The baptism into Christ. See it? And the baptizer is the Holy Spirit. The minister may dunk you. He may say the words. But it's the Holy Spirit just baptizing you into Christ. And it's not this that's being baptized. This is a shadow of it. This is under the curse. Remember? This dies. There's nothing good in this thing. It's corrupt. But God has a new body for you. And until you receive that new body, He baptizes you into Christ. And you're hid in Christ. By faith, He is your new body. That's what it means to be in Christ. By faith, He, Jesus, is your new body. I don't live in this thing anymore. I'm living in Him. I'm not looking out here at this stuff anymore. I'm looking down with Him.
Amen.
That's what it's all about.
Amen.
And by faith, I wait on that. This old thing can die and go to hell. I don't care. But my soul was baptized in the blood. All right? Now, God raised up another seed out there in that desert under Joshua and Caleb, and they went on a cross, didn't they? And they crossed over that river Jordan and took the land. Amen? That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See, Peter was screwed up in verse 1. Why? Because he didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost yet. Or in Acts chapter 1, because they didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost yet. It was until Acts chapter 2 they got their acts together. And then only partly. You understand what I'm saying? Did you notice a couple things? I'm going to go back and just fill in a couple things. First of all, how do I know there are still apostles and prophets today? Because the condition hasn't been met yet. We're not all perfect, all under the unity, all under one faith. We're not there yet, are we? All right? How else do I know it? Huh? Book of Acts ain't over with yet. You ever notice that the Book of Acts is the only book in the Bible that doesn't have an ending? It just stops. Did you ever notice that? Anybody got their Bible here? Turn the book of Acts for me. And read. Read the last chapter and the last verse. The last few verses, whatever you want to read there. That's right. Now that was written by Luke, right? It was written by Luke the physician. And Luke was living with Paul at the time he wrote it. And Paul was in prison. And when the word came, okay, Paul, you're free to go, Luke just packed up his pen and they left. It never got finished. Every other book in the Bible has an ending. That's the only one that doesn't. Isn't that interesting? Why? Because the Acts of the Apostles are still going on today. They're still going on today. There are other reasons I could give you, but that's just a couple of them for you today. Just deal on those a little bit. And if you go back to Ephesians 4 again and read that comes after that, it says that we henceforth be no more what? Children. Tossed
to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Without the apostles and prophets, people go crazy. But there are apostles and prophets. And it doesn't matter if anybody out there agrees with that or not. Truth is truth. Amen? All right. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about being born again, he was talking about born of the soul, born of the spirit, and born of the body, which is a new body, not the old body. If I was born of this body would never die. And hopefully it looks better than it does. You see, it wouldn't have this on. It's due in about a week, you know. Wouldn't I look good in a wedding dress? Go down there to a Catholic church and stand in line when the bishop's got his Jesus cookie in.
Can I have one, too?
Terrible. I should be ashamed of myself, but I'm not. Is anybody getting what I'm talking about here tonight? When Jesus cast out devils, the Pharisees said what? He cast out devils by the spirit of Beelzebub. Right? These are the same ones that knew he was of the Lord, right? Isn't that something? And what was it Jesus said? He said a lot. But there's this one little thing he said. If I cast out devils by the finger of God, know ye this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. See? So he's talking about the kingdom of God. He's not talking about going to heaven. He's talking about stepping across into that spiritual world where you win. Where you win. And you can't do it first. You've got to have love. You've got to have love for God. You've got to have love for Jesus. And you've got to have love for one another. Yeah, you can cast out devils, but without love, it means nothing. Now, there are some people that come back and say, well, what about that scripture verse where Jesus said, not everyone saying unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many shall say unto that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many marvelous works, but I will profess unto them, get thee away from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Doesn't that prove that casting out devils is of the devil? No. It proves one of two things. One, they never did it because he didn't say they did it. He just said they did it. Isn't that right? He didn't say they did it. He just said they did it. I've been in churches where they preach that when somebody accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior, all the devils are cast out automatically. If that's the case, how come they still can't get off drugs and alcohol and all that other stuff? There's some things of the flesh. There's some things of the spirit. You got to know how to deal with each one. I used to pray for people with cancer and they died. It got to the point I would pay someone not to come to be prayed for. I didn't want to pray for anybody with cancer. One night, this man came to the church, worked for my stepfather. Actually, he was my stepfather's boss. And he had cancer of the larynx. And he was due to go into surgery the next day. He wanted prayer, and I didn't want to pray for the guy. And I preached longer. I thought if I preached long enough, everybody would get bored and go home. Now, Ann remembers me in those days. I could preach. I could start preaching at 7 o'clock, and I'd still be preaching at 2 o'clock in the morning. Ricky Baldwin's not here right now. John, you were there, I think. We went down to Maryland one time. We were going to do Ephesians. I was going to preach a chapter a night. After 5.5 hours, we started on verse 2. Well, I could get long-winded. But anyway, so I said, Lord, what do I do about this, you know? Pray for him. He'll die. It's a lot of faith, isn't it? Great man of faith. He'll die. Well, I had faith. I had faith he'd die. Sometimes you don't have faith the way it's supposed to be. It's turned the wrong way. Got that one back in, didn't I? So I said, Lord, what do I do? He says, don't pray for healing. He doesn't need to be healed. Now, all this went through my mind real quick. I said, what do you mean, Lord? He's dying of cancer. What do you mean he doesn't need to be healed? And in real quick time, he showed me something. You know what pneumonia is, right? And you know what a cold is, right? Did you know the symptoms for a cold and pneumonia are the same? But if you treat them the same, one will die. And what God showed me is there are some sicknesses that are natural. Pray for healing. There are some sicknesses that are spiritual. Get rid of the demon behind it, the sickness goes away. And he said, command the spirit to go. And all of a sudden he showed me a bunch of scriptures. How many times, man, I read these things. And Jesus commanded the unclean spirit to go out of the man, and he was healed. Sick of the palsy. And the unclean spirit came out, and he was healed. And all of a sudden, it was like a light went off in me. And I got confidence in Jesus. And I said, sir, get yourself up here. And I looked at him dead in the face. I said, you devil of cancer, in Jesus' name you come out. And he was thrown to the floor, torn, and it came out. And he had a normal voice, and he was delivered of that cancer. And I've never been afraid of cancer since. And you don't have to be either. Amen. You don't have to be either. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. Amen. But of love. Power. And a sound mind. You know what a sound mind's for? That's so you don't get all stupid. And panic. It's so you can think. You see? Now tomorrow, with God's blessing, we're going to go a little further in this. We're going to start going a little bit further in about what it took to cross Jordan. We're going to talk about the difference between Moses and Joshua. Now see, actually, I'm telling you this because it makes me feel good. It gives me confidence that I'll have something to say in here tomorrow. Truth of the matter is, when I walk in this place, I don't know what I'm going to say. And if the Lord says go with that, praise God. That's where we'll go. If He says go somewhere else, we'll go somewhere else. But whatever it'll be, it'll start. It's building a foundation. I'll need to build a foundation so that you can learn when I leave here to take the anointing of God and walk in that anointing. Not just for yourself, but for your family and your neighbors and this world. Because I got to finish with this one thing because I promised last night I would. I said last night I was going to tell people how Bill Clinton was the head of their church. I got a few weird looks last night too. Bill Clinton's ahead of the church in America because most of the churches in America are incorporated. Did you know that? Now watch this. The creator of a thing is the God of a thing. He that can create something out of nothing is the God of that which is created. A corporation is considered a created person by the state. And it gets its authority from the executive branch of the federal government. And God showed me this years ago, and I didn't like it because I was incorporated. I got out of that. But He showed me very clearly that every incorporated church in America, He looks at as a Baal church. And when you give your money to it, He looks at it as if you've given it to an abortion clinic. Why?
because the abortion clinics are the same corporation. They're both 501c3 corporations. And the government doesn't make any determination between the two. Now, this is hard stuff. But how many have read in Malachi where it says, would a man rob God? Wherein you say, where have we robbed thee? In thy tithes and offerings. Prove me this day and see. Bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse. Prove me this day and see if I won't pour you out a blessing. Open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so you can't even contain it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. How many of you remember that? And you go and you give your 10% in the church and you put it in the basket, which, number one, is not of the Lord. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell you to take your 10% and plunk it in the basket in the church. It goes to the Levites. The offering goes to the church. And then you go off and you expect God to pour these blessings out and they don't happen and you wonder why. Have you ever wondered why it didn't work? Where's that abundant blessing? Where is it? Why does my car break? Why does this happen? Why does that happen? It's because the preacher robs you. He robs you because he doesn't know. You can't give to a Baal church and expect God to bless it. Jesus said to the disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Herod represented the government. The Pharisees represented the church. Now, do you notice there's three people Jesus attacked on this earth? Herod, the Pharisees, and the money changers. 4 days after attacking the money changers, he was crucified. We have a trinity in this nation between the government, the church, and the money changers, the Federal Reserve Bank. If you don't believe it, search it out. Don't be a part of it. Render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Amen? Give to Caesar what belongs to him. That sucker might leave you alone. But you don't have to party in his party. Amen? All right, I'm done. Get ready to play a song. I hope you come.